depending on the Lord's help, would ask your attention to Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, reading the 13th and the 14th verses. Chapter 13 in the Hebrews, reading verses 13 and 14. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. In this portion of the Word of God before us, the Apostle presents to us a word of exhortation in the 9th verse. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. No doubt the Apostle here has reference to the Old Testament dispensation. There was much ritual. There was much for the natural eye to see, the natural eye to behold, under that worship which was given by the Lord to his servant Moses. The New Testament worship, there is nothing presented to sense and reason, nothing for the natural eye to behold. And this truth we need again and again to be reminded of it, that the heart be established with grace. Then the Apostle goes on, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. That altar is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is both the altar and he is the sacrifice. This was the Apostle's delight. This was holy and sacred pleasure to this man of God, to exalt him who is the altar and who is the sacrifice. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest are burned without the camp. This has reference to the sin offering offered under the Levitical law. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The people of God are a people sanctified, a people separated from the world that lieth in wickedness. They are no better than others. Paul plainly tells us in his epistle to the Ephesians, we are all children of wrath, even as us. But there comes a time in the life of those who are sanctified by God the Father, redeemed by Christ the Son. There comes a time when they are quickened, when they are born again, when they are convinced of their sin, when their eyes are open, they are enlightened by the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And it is these people that travel the road and the path spoken of in the words I have brought here tonight for a text. He suffered without the gate. Here's the sin offering. There was nothing under the old dispensation that could put away sin. The priesthood of Aaron was stained with sin. Aaron himself was an idolater. He raised up the golden calf. He said, these be the gods that brought the heir to the land of Egypt. If you study the Old Testament, you'll find the priesthood under the law was stained with sin. I know they are set forth as types and shadows, but the blood of bulls, the blood of goats, they could not make atonement for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, he that suffered without the gate, he made atonement for the sins of his church and his people. What a truth. Is there anything in your heart tonight that is drawn out to a once crucified but now exalted Lord. These are the truths presented to us tonight in this chapter. You will never know it. Only as God the Holy Spirit reveal Christ to your soul. I have no doubt in my mind about this. Christ revealed is the work of the Spirit of God. He shall take of mine and he shall show it unto you. Has the Lord showed himself unto you? These are vital things. These are fundamental things. These are all important matters. Whatever your age is, you may be young. You may be very young. You may be in the midst of life. In the midst of life, we are in death. But some are with grey hair. But this is an all important matter to know my Jesus crucified. This is the only place you can find deliverance from your burden of sin and of guilt. This caused the apostle to utter those well-known words, I am determined to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You come here tonight burdened with sin. You come here tonight under condemnation. Is there one here tonight who knows and feels, if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well? Do you believe it? It's very easy to take words upon our lips. It's very easy to become familiar with verses in the hymn. It's very easy to become familiar with portions of the Word of God. But I believe this, that God burns his truth upon the conscience of those that are born of the Spirit, of those that are born from above. Now this portion of the Word of God is addressed to those souls who have been quickened, who have been made alive, who have been brought to pray and cry and seek earnestly and diligently that God would have mercy upon their soul. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. How can we go forth? I only know one way. Therefore, I can only speak of one way. The only way you can go forth after the Lord Jesus Christ is by faith. Faith in him, the eternal Son of God, the God-man mediator. Faith goes forth after Christ as Christ is revealed to your soul. Can you look back tonight to that spot and that place where you felt this going forth after Christ? The first time my soul ever went forth after Christ, he revealed this truth by divine power, the eternal sonship of Christ. That's why I preach it, because God the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. It's a doctrine that has caused great contention right through the ages. Soon after the dear Redeemer ascended up into that glory, the glory he had with the Father from all eternity, but he ascended up not only as the eternal Son of God, he ascended up as the God-man mediator. And when Christ is revealed to the soul, you see by faith that God is in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. I would say this: you will never see God outside of Christ. No man will ever see God outside of Christ. You will see him as your Savior, or you will see him as your judge to condemn you to everlasting and eternal perdition. By this man God hath ordained, he will judge the world in righteousness. I had an ungodly man come to me one day. He said, "You don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ will judge at that last great judgment day. You don't believe that, do you? I said I most certainly do. I believe what's written in the Bible. I have no doubt in my mind of it. He scorned me, he derided me, he ridiculed me. I said that don't alter my mind. He will come. He will come to judgment. He will. I hope and pray and desire that everyone here tonight in this chapel may be brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Redeemer. That's how I desire to preach, that sinners may be brought to know this glorious person, the God-man mediator. He that is the glory of heaven, he that is the light of heaven, the church triumphant worship him, adore him, ascribe all honor and all glory to this glorious Redeemer. And the church militant, they desire to worship him. They desire to serve him. They desire to follow him. But we have in this 13th verse a part clearly mapped out, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. See, the Church of God doesn't belong to this world. He doesn't. I know we live in the world. I know we have to do with the world. And we shall do as long as we live on the earth. But if you are a follower of the meek and the lowly Jesus, you will go forth therefore unto him without the camp. You will. You'll be a speckled bird. I know that. I've been one for many years. I thank God for it. I do indeed. And we read this, bearing his reproach. Not a very nice path it is. The people to despise. That's how I understand this word. Well, the Church of God is despised. Fear of God in your heart, if you desire day by day to walk in the fear of the Lord, you'll be without the camp. You may be surrounded by the ungodly, but you'll be without the camp. I've had many, many years of that path. It's not my path today, but it has been for a long, long season. And I felt it again and again without the camp. You can be religious and not walk this path. You can make a profession of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and not be without the camp. Solemn, it's true. I've seen it, I've witnessed it. It's caused me many a groan, many a sigh. The throne of God's heavenly grace. It's very, very solemn to make a profession of the name of Christ and not be found walking in this path without the camp bearing his reproach. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth, he was despised, he was rejected of men, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They said, he hath a devil and is mad. That's what they said about our blessed Lord. Do you think you will have a different path? You never will, my friend. You never will. This is the road. We live in a day when many professors of religion, those who profess the name of Christ, those who profess to believe the doctrines of free and of sovereign grace, they try to alter this path. They try to alter the word of God. If they live and die there, they will perish. They will. I'll tell you what sort of people they are. When you really get to know them, they really think they are doing something for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know what the Lord tells about those solemn characters? He says this, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I will say here tonight what I said many times. It's not what you do, and it's not what I do for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's what he does for us. It's having in our hearts that which Paul speaks of, that the heart be established with grace. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be established in the truth as it is in Jesus. That's what I want the Lord to do for me. I want Him to do it for me every day of my life, to establish my heart with His grace, with His teaching. What does the grace of God do? It humbles the sinner. That's grace. A lot of people talk about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's true. I'm not speaking to anybody in this chapel. I don't know you people at all. But I've heard professors the talk of the lip tendeth to penury. I don't want to stand here tonight and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and know nothing of my heart being established by His grace. To feel His humbling grace, to feel the sweet savour of Christ in our souls, this will separate. This will bring you willing to go forth unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Moses, the man of God, he tells us plainly concerning this teaching, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all Egypt had to give. You think of it. He esteemed the worst part of religion better than all the treasures of Egypt. He knew this. What did he know? He knew this. For here have we no continuing city. We seek one to come. You see the path of a child of God. Here on the earth is a path of suffering. Is. Make no mistake about this. If you follow the dear Lord Jesus, if you keep close to Him, it's a path of suffering. If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. That's a precious word. If the Lord Jesus Christ is with us in our suffering, you think about it. The world's full of suffering. The world's full of sorrow. The world's full of distress. And they haven't got Jesus with them. They haven't. If we suffer with Him, do you know anything about it? That's been a good word to me. That's been a precious word to me. Because I know He's been with me. my troubles to bless, and sanctify to me my deepest distress. So some of you, the Lord Jesus Christ has been with you in your suffering. These souls, they don't talk much. These souls, no, they don't talk much. You see, the Lord holds them in this path of suffering. They go forth without the camp, bearing his reproach. Sometimes you can feel it. Sometimes you can feel the scorn of dead professors. They are the worst enemies I encounter. Dead professors of religion. I know they hate me. Or they hate the precious truth that I preach. Having a name to live, they are dead. I don't want a dead religion. I don't want a cold religion. I don't want an unfeeling religion. I want God again and again to work this in my soul. Letter. He doesn't say let me or let you. He says let us at the church of the living God, the bride of Christ, he that he bore and redeemed with his own precious blood. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. He won't last very long, my friend. Won't last very long. We shall soon be brought to the end of the pilgrimage journey. A few more days, months, it may be a few years at the most. For here have we no continuing city. Sad truth, were this to be our home, this may distress the worldling's mind, but should not cost the saint a tear who hopes a better rest to find. Do you sometimes look forward? Do you sometimes look for that day when we shall see the King in his beauty? Behold that land which is a very far off, nearer, nearer to him clinging. May my helpless soul be found, all my sorrows to him bringing. May his grace in me abound. Happy moments when King Jesus is in sight. That hymn begins with these words. Oh, the happiness arise from the work of grace within, when the soul is realizing conquest over hell and sin. Happy moment when King Jesus is in sight. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now this sacrifice is a broken, is a contrite, is a humble, chastened soul. This is being favored to know this truth, that the heart be established with grace. The Lord grant you these rich blessings.